You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. And on this hour of the Made of Clay Report, we are going to review some activities here in Ithaca around the Prayer for Peace and the Ithaca Prayer for Peace Vigil, which has been held, started Thursday afternoon at Cornell's Annabelle Taylor Hall with a Catholic service, and it will conclude actually with a Catholic service tonight at about, I believe it's at 8 o'clock at Muller Chapel in Ithaca College. And between those two events, we've had programs, services at, I believe, as 15 different religious communities and one non-religious community, and representing four or five different religious traditions. It's the first time in Ithaca where we've tried to do this kind of ecumenical work, where we are interfaith or multi-faith work, because I consider non-religious people having, they also have a sense of optimism or hope that they're living toward, which I would define as a religious faith. And religion isn't necessarily spooky or irrational. And can be. But what we did this time, rather than try to bring everybody into a room and say, we have to do the same thing together, we invited people to look at their communities, their congregations, their friends, and say, are we open to inviting others into our space? And we'll share with them what we have, and we'll welcome them there. And so that's how we did it. And it has just been a little bit like a catching on with a certain kind of contagion. Not everywhere, because not everybody was ready to receive that invitation, but many have. So what I'm going to do on this show, on this hour this morning, is I'm going to read pieces, play pieces, but I'm also going to set the tone, because I want to play a song that I think captures these times. And it's Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth. And then we will launch into the program.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat.
This is a hymn that we sang, though that was not us singing it, on Thursday evening at St. Catherine of Siena. And we read in that evening a liturgy that was written by Archbishop John Carroll for the inauguration of George Washington in 1789. And the words are slightly adapted for the current time. And I'm going to read it now, as I'm going to read pieces from Christian, Jewish, Protestant, other Muslim. We're going to be playing music from all different traditions that have been either that has been used or that has been used on this show addressing some of these same issues. Because I did not record the actual events because they were earnest events and had an integrity at the time. We weren't going to go there. So this is the prayer by Archbishop John Carroll for the inauguration of George Washington. Almighty and eternal God, you have revealed your glory to all nations, God of power and might, wisdom and justice. Through your authority, through you, authority is rightly administered, laws are enacted, and judgment is decreed. For the President, assist with your spirit of counsel and fortitude the President of these United States, Donald Trump, that his administration may be conducted in righteousness and be eminently useful to your people over whom he presides. May he encourage due respect for virtue and religion. May he execute the laws with justice and mercy. May he seek to restrain crime, vice, and immorality. And for the members of Congress, let the light of your divine wisdom direct the deliberations of Congress and shine forth in all the proceedings and laws framed for our rule and government. May they seek to preserve peace, promote national happiness, and continue to bring us the blessings of liberty and equality. For state and local officials, we pray for Andrew Cuomo, the governor of this state, for the members of the legislature, for judges, elected civil officials, and all others who are entrusted to guard our political welfare. May they be enabled by your powerful protection to discharge their duties with honesty and ability. We likewise commend to your unbounded mercy all citizens of the United States, that we be blessed in the knowledge and sanctified in the observance of your holy law. May we be preserved in union and that peace which the world cannot give, and after enjoying the blessings of this life, be admitted to those which are eternal. We pray to you, who are Lord and God, forever and ever. Amen. Now, the service at St. Catherine's concluded with a singing of the hymn set to the tune Finlandia. It's called This Is My Song, O God of All the Nations. And that on Friday at 11:30 in the morning, we gathered at Temple. The movable vigil moved on to Temple Bethel, hosted by Rabbi Glass and various rabbis and cantors in the community, and welcoming many people to participate. I'm going to read a few selections from that and then play a piece from it. One was the scripture that was set to music, that which we will play momentarily, and the other is a prayer. I lift my eyes to the mountains. What is the source of my help? The source of my help is the Lord, creator of heaven and earth. He will not let you falter. Your guardian neither slumbers nor sleeps. Surely the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is at your right hand to protect you. The Lord your keeper gives shelter. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you from all harm. The Lord will preserve your soul. He will guard your going and coming from this time forth and forever. And now I'm going to read one of the prayers from that service before we listen to a setting to music of that song, of that scripture. O God, who art beyond our knowledge, but near our hearts and needs, be gracious unto our land and our people. Help us to preserve our blessed heritage of freedom and to make secure our institutions of law, equality, and justice. May it be given to us to walk always in the dignity of free men and women, secure in our rights and faithful in the obligations of our prized citizenship. Make us all of one heart, O God, so that together as one people we may move forward, unafraid, to the tasks and challenges of the inscrutable years which lie ahead. And that is from Abba Hillel Silver in 1953. Now, here is Neshama Karlbach and the Green Pastures Baptist Choir. as we and that was a recording of Neshama Karlbach and the Green Pastures Baptist Choir. They've actually performed here at the State Theater a few years ago. Rabbi Glass brought them here, and that song we sang at the opening of the service. I want to read a prayer for peace from the Siddur Sim Shalom that we read at that service. May we see the day when war and bloodshed ceases, when a great peace will embrace the whole world. The nation will not threaten nation, and humankind will not again know war. For all who live on earth shall realize we have not come into being to hate or to destroy. We have come into being to praise, to labor, and to love. Compassionate God, bless the leaders of all nations with the power of compassion. Fulfill the promise conveyed in Scripture, I will bring peace to the land, and you shall lie down, and no one shall terrify you. I will rid the land of vicious beasts, and it shall not be ravaged by war. Let love and justice flow like a mighty stream. Let peace fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. And let us say, Amen. Later in this hour, I will play another piece of worship music, which has to do with brothers and friends, sisters and friends coming together and being at peace and wishing each other peace. But that is probably where we will close the show. So on Friday, that at 11:30, there was a service at Temple Bethel, and then at 12 noon, there was a service, a concert. Musicians with different affiliations with different religious communities, and maybe none at all, up at Annabelle Taylor Hall, that Mark Lawrence, Bill Cowdery, Tony, I'm blocking on his last name, he was just on the show here not long ago, and others had were performing at Annabelle Taylor Hall. And then at about 1:20, at Annabelle Taylor Hall, there was the Muslim prayer service, the Jummah prayer, and in the One World Room. And I'm not going to use the Muslim call to worship. I'm going to play a couple of songs that my Muslim guests have played, have asked me to play over the years that were important to them. But I want to take a little time out and a little digression here, to talk about two religious concepts that have important secular implications, especially in this time of unknowing. And time of fear and serious hopes on all sides that things can change for the better, but change may mean some very different things. For those of us who were surprised by the outcome of the election, it may be that, and in theological terms as well, this would be called, when we didn't see reality clearly, for whatever reason, that is known in theological terms as idolatry. Anything that gets in the way of seeing what is true and real and of God is idolatry. And to see one's, and so that's one of the major problems. And when people have reacted so strongly about what happened, either positively or negatively, that reaction tends to me to suggest that we need to do some soul searching. Because for those who succeeded and didn't expect to, and those who failed and didn't expect to, we were blinded by a way of knowing and a way of seeing that wasn't true. And so we need to figure out how to see each other more clearly within the religious traditions. And so that seeing clearly is both can be framed in theological terms, but it can also be framed simply in just we didn't see it, totally non-religious terms, if they offend you. And then there's another issue about how do we come forward together in the future. And that has to do with what in theological terms is called iniquity. And that is to have too high an opinion or too low an opinion of yourself. if you have too high an opinion of yourself and your needs and your rights, you take advantage of other people. If you have too low an opinion of yourself and your needs and your rights, you let other people take advantage of you. And to be fair and equitable is to not practice iniquity. And we need to know each other to know how we can be equitable with each other, so that we do not sit and claim what we cannot claim or demand of others what we cannot demand of them, because it would put us in a wrong relationship with each other. That's secular language, that's non-religious language for the same concepts. We need to move them both forward, because there are people in this country who value both deeply and need to have both honored deeply. It offends, it hurts no one to honor each other's language, even if we wouldn't use it or find it odd, or even if we find it offensive. It's more about us than it is about them in most instances, whatever the language issue is. So now let me digress. I've already digressed. Let me play a song that one of my Muslim guests brought to this show probably 2 years ago. And it's by a popular musician named Zain Mahir. I haven't pronounced it properly. It's Insha'Allah, and it's about comfort and encouragement for Muslims and for all people to find their way, and that they will find their way. So I'm going to start that song right now.
You cannot go on. You feel so lost and that you're so alone. All you see is night and darkness all around. You feel so helpless, you can't see which way to go. Don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side. Insha'Allah, 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 you'll find your way. Insha'Allah, 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 you'll find your way. Every time you commit one more mistake, it's way too late. You're so confused, wrong decisions you have made haunt your mind, and your heart is full of shame. But don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side. Insha'Allah, 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 you'll find your way. Insha'Allah, 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 you'll find your to Allah. He's never far away. Put your trust in Him, raise your hands and pray. Ooh yeah, Allah, guide my steps, don't let me go astray. You're the only one who can show me the way. Hey!
God willing, we will find our way. And the affirmation is that that is what God wills. Or, to put it in secular terms, we'll figure it out. We will be enough to rise to the occasion, enough for each other. I want to note that in these events that have been held in multiple locations and in multiple traditions, many people have gone from one event to another. And at the temple, there were probably 20 or more people who were not from the Jewish community who were participating in that service. And half or more of them were from St. Catherine of Siena Roman Catholic Church. And for many in that group, that was the first time they had ever experienced being in a synagogue or being in Jewish worship. And one of the participants wrote, "Thank you for doing this for our community. I think it has been very helpful for those who are fearful about the presidency of Donald Trump, but also just a good thing for us to pray together across our faith traditions. I hope that things continue to go well. I would go to additional events tomorrow, but I'm going in the on to another event at Seneca Falls," and that was from, that last part was from Anne Marie, but the thank you was to pray together across our different faith traditions, not adopting them, not following each other's practices, but just acknowledging and accepting them that we are here, and not just people of religious faith, but people who are not religious, who have hopes and aspirations, and need to bring them to expression in a similar way so that we can all know each other. I also want to note that a couple of women from St. Catherine came and attended the Muslim prayer service, and there were some others of us there too in attendance. Not because we're Muslim, but because we stand in solidarity with our neighbors to practice their religion in freedom of and free of coercion and free of fear. And also, one of these people came later in the day to the Quaker service and had said that in both instances she'd never been to worship outside of a Catholic setting, and she would never have gone alone to a Muslim service, but she went with a friend, and she went to the Quaker service, and these were the first times she experienced worship outside of a Catholic setting. And not because it's her worship, but because it's not fearful to experience another person's tradition, and you don't have to endorse it to be present. You need to accept it, and we can't really accept what we do not know, which is what's so incredibly important about this event and how it was organized. And I want to call out and give thanks to Matthew Saneker for following a dream or a vision that he had that this needed to happen, and very slowly and very deliberately walking it to fruition these past few days. We're going to turn now. I'm going to play just for the fun of it, because this is what one of my other Muslim guests had asked to play, and that was Cat Stevens' Peace Train.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Now I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as well, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause I'm on the edge of darkness, the rise of peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding loud, died on the peace train. Come on, peace train. It's peace train, holy road. Everyone jump upon the peace train. Come on, peace train. Now get your bags together. Go! Bring your good friends too. Cause it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. Now come and join the lift. You know, it's not so far from you. And it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding loud. Right on the peace train.
And during this vigil, the First Baptist Church opened its doors to the public to come and walk a labyrinth. And I'm going to read a description of the labyrinth from some of the materials that they have provided. What is a labyrinth? The labyrinth is a prayer path that engages heart and mind, body and soul. It has no wrong turns or dead ends. And think of your life that way, too. If you start walking from the entrance and follow the path, it will lead you into the center. You follow the same path, retracing your steps to come back to the entrance. Following this complex but trustworthy pattern calms the mind and creates openness to the Holy Presence in our lives. Even 30 to 40 people can walk at the same time by following the simple guidelines. Before entering the labyrinth, wait until the person ahead of you has completed the first turn, and other walkers may be deep in their own prayer, so please be considerate and refrain from talking. And if several people are waiting to come into the center of the labyrinth, please limit your time there. It's a way of allowing us to have the commons, which is the labyrinth in this case. Pray silently any way you wish. It's often helpful to pay attention to what's happening inside you and around you. What do you notice? What do you see, hear, feel? Is there a question in your life that you would like to think about as you walk the labyrinth? You may ask God to be with you in any feelings, thoughts, or questions that arise during your walk. As you walk the labyrinth path, you are walking around and into the arms of a cross. The design can be an invitation to walk with God. We are all on the same journey, each at our own pace. And this is also just a variation of walking prayer that many people do in both Buddhist and Christian traditions and others. You may walk the labyrinth whenever you are thoughtfully ready. Please remove your shoes unless you need them for support in walking. Please refrain from conversation on the labyrinth. Walk at your own pace. It is all right to pass others and to let others pass you. Trust the path. It will lead you into the center and back out again to the entrance. In the center, you may stand, sit, or kneel and continue your prayer for a few minutes. Then follow the path all the way back to the entrance of the labyrinth. After your walk, you may continue your prayer in silence in the room. Write or draw on the back cover of the bulletin, or talk quietly with a friend or with one of the facilitators. You may walk the labyrinth a second time or third and leave whenever you wish. The open invitation to come, be, and leave when you wish. Also participating in this vigil was the a Unitarian Church, which had the Baptist Church offered soup with their program, and the Unitarian Church offered, or the Unitarian Society offered, pizza, and we had a long conversation, and then went in for people to share their own and others' poetry, and so with the 10, 15 of us that were gathered there, maybe 20, we listened to poems that have been close to the heart of each person who was present. And I know that I'm going to miss certain congregations that were participating in this process, but I want to particularly also note that hang on a second here. That St. Paul's United Methodist Church is doing something this morning. First Congregational Church opened their doors throughout the weekend, on Saturday, particularly Friday and Saturday, for prayer. Who else is on this list? I think that's the others I've already mentioned. And then after the Friday evening time at the Unitarian congregation, I went over to the Quaker Meeting House. And at the Quaker Meeting House, we sat for an hour, not quite an hour, 45 minutes in silence. And as we were sitting in silence, for me, it was just a time of gathering the thoughts of the day and the thoughts of the experience of the time of uncertainty and unknowing, and the time of what could be very potentially helpful conflict for all of us to engage in that we have not successfully done for 45 or 50 years or more. And one of the persons there spoke up and said, in my recollection, having been in the civil rights movement, that there was a quality of love for the people that they were challenging, that even if they could not, they could love them, they could be with them, they could do things together, they could not share in everything because they did not have the same values, and they would not endorse some things, but they would hold them in high regard. And her concern was that we be able to find a way. And I remember people on many different sides of the issues in the 60s being able to hold each other in high regard, even though they deeply, deeply frustrated each other and would not necessarily have to agree. One of the things that we have failed to learn as a nation is how to have profoundly moral differences and let them be, because we don't necessarily want, or it wouldn't be right for us to live each other's lives. We can't do that. That involves acceptance of others without endorsing them. We haven't learned how to create a space where we can be accepted and free to pursue the lives that we find most meaningful and not have to judge as defective or as better those around us. That's the iniquity thing we just talked about. I want to read some prayers from actually, before I do that, I want to play a song because it follows on this notion of love. And this too comes from the year 1967, which was the year of the song that I began this show with, the For What It's Worth, There's Something Happening Here. That same year, the Youngbloods came out with a song called Get Together, and we're going to need to get together.
Love is but a song we sing, fears that we will die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know why, get together, try to love one another right now.
Jesse Colin Young and the Youngbloods, and get together. Now, one of the activities that we attempted, though it was poorly timed, was we attempted to bring people together across friendships, across differences. And I think timing that after the Women's March in Ithaca was not helpful. People were really kind of jazzed up by the affirmation of their agendas and hopes and goals, and it really wasn't a time to sit down and to contemplate the other with whom one may be in some painful conflict. And we will redo that. We will do that another time. We will host it again. Although we did have an intense conversation, those of us who were there at the library from 2 to 4. I'm going to turn now, though, to the Episcopal tradition out of which Matthew Saneker comes and who helped lead us in prayer and reflection in the Episcopal tradition. So I'm going to read some portions from the Book of Common Prayer that have been adapted for this purpose, and then reflect a little bit on who participated, who didn't, in terms of the congregations, and what the hope for is in the future for these kinds of gatherings. But here, here is for the human family, a prayer from the Book of Common Prayer in the Episcopal tradition, in the Anglican tradition. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then the prayer for sound government. O Lord, our governor, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to other nations of the earth. To the president and members of the cabinet, to governors of states, mayors of cities, and to all in administrative authority, grant wisdom and grace in the exercise of their duties. And the reply was, give grace to your servants, O Lord. To senators and representatives and those who make our laws in states, cities, and towns, give courage, wisdom, and foresight to provide for the needs of all our people and to fulfill our obligations in the community of nations. Give grace to your servants, O Lord, was the response. To the judges and officers of our courts, give understanding and integrity, that human rights may be safeguarded and justice served. Give grace to your servants, O Lord. And finally, teach our people to rely on your strength and to accept their responsibilities to their fellow citizens, that they may elect trustworthy leaders and make wise decisions for the well-being of our society, that we may serve you faithfully in our generation and honor your holy name. Amen. And then one last prayer from the Episcopal tradition for social justice. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions may, being healed, we may live in justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When we began this process of setting up a, when Matthew inspired it and Area Congregations Together took it on and Ithaca Area Clergy Group, and we tried to invite, and we did get some response from some non-religious folks, though not a lot. We need to bring this more into a space where we can speak to each other in our own languages in ways that make sense, and we can learn to understand what is being said. That is a really, really important piece. For a religious person to pray is to speak a deep and honest truth about one's longings and one's place and the nature of the reality as one understands it. It has very rational elements to it, very emotional elements to it, very physical elements to it, as do the words of an earnest conversation among people who are not religious. We need to be able to create spaces where this can happen. Part of our failure as a nation is to not know how to speak honestly with each other so that we would not be surprised by these events or so that we would not see each other as the enemy. But it was really, really important in organizing this event that it be an invitation for people to come and participate in a way to welcome other people in a way that they are truly comfortable. We did not want any congregation or community to feel like they had to, in some sense, compromise the core of what they value in order to invite others in so they wouldn't offend them. We have a major problem in this country, being able to have a thick enough skin to be in others' places where we may not agree with or value them, but it's earnest for them to do it, and to ask them to come and be in our places and to get to know us, and not necessarily to endorse us, but to have accurate knowledge of what we aspire to, what we value, and not rely on innuendo or stereotype or any other way in which we abuse each other by our lack of knowledge. We had interest among the evangelicals, and I understand that right as we speak, Bethel Grove Bible Church is having a program on what it means to be a Christian in the public square right now. We have interest from some of the evangelical pastors to participate, but we don't yet in that community know how to do this in a way that doesn't feel like in compromising or endorsing something that we do not value. The same could be said of among Orthodox or Jews or conservative Muslims or very anti-religious secularists. But we need to be able to invite others into our places where we do real conversation and learn to know each other. Today, we're going to close this show with a recording again by Neshama Karlbach and the Green Pastures Baptist Choir. And I'm not going to pronounce this properly. I think it's Lachman Akai Varaya. It's because of my brothers and friends, because of my sisters and friends. Please let me ask, please let me say, peace to you. This is the house of the Lord. I wish the very best for you. And that's how we're going to conclude the show today. Listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, 88.1 in Ithaca and 91.9 in Watkins Glen.